And so, just like a three-man format to this podcast, we're back.
And now with 100% less melanin.
Oh my god.
Guys, we lost Wolf.
Yeah, he's out in the tundra somewhere.
And by that I mean he had to work today. Folks, we are gathered here today.
To get through this thing called life.
Yeah.
He should feel lucky.
We should.
No, he should feel lucky.
Oh, Wolf should feel lucky.
Because he did not have to watch this program.
No, no, he did not. Evidently, neither did one of our other hosts. But we'll come.
This should have just been a chat in store.
Nah, fuck that. Wolf. I have so many things I need to say about this program and why we're doing this. Dog, settle. Dog. Not settle? Oh. Meg's home.
And much like the dog interrupting this
podcast. Much like the dog interrupting, we're back.
What the dog doing?
What the dog doing?
Barking.
Take the dog to hell. So, before we move forward,
can we ring that bell?
Yeah, let's ring this bell, man.
I've been staring at this for 25 minutes. Okay, there we go.
Uncle Arnie's makes a good beverage. I gotta bring this up, because it's been stuck in my head ever since you did it, Braden. A couple weeks ago, when we go to do the podcast, I start handing out some drinks before we're even recording. And this won't translate, but to me, it was so fucking funny that it has stayed in my brain. I go to hand out some beverages, and who would like some Uncle Arnie's? Braden responds,
"Uncle Arnie's!
Thank you!" And the innocence in your voice in that moment. It sounded like the happiest little fat kid about to see his favorite family member ever. Or being told, "Hey, guess what? We're going to Uncle Arnie's this afternoon."
Uncle Arnie's!
It is the most wholesome moment you've ever had. And it's just, thank God, canned weed.
Weed beverage.
It's good stuff. You guys got anything for an undercard?
I saw the film Black Swan for the first time ever.
Really?
Yeah. And real good. Darren Aronofsky made the same movie back to back, and he thought he could get away with it.
Which
Black Swan and The Wrestler.
I was going to say movie. Black Swan and The Wrestler are just ballet and pro wrestling.
Yeah.
But we're going to tell, even though I think Black Swan goes a little weirder.
I would love to see the wrestler version of Black Swan. The Black Swan version of The Wrestler. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Black Swan has a little bit more surrealism. Fantastic. Yeah, surrealism. Yeah. That's what I'm looking for. The Wrestler is much more literal.
Yeah.
But have you seen Black Swan?
I've not.
Excellent movie.
Really good.
I think I've got one Aronofsky per decade in me.
And that is The Wrestler?
Yeah. I don't know. I was just making a joke. Yeah, I don't know. I remember very vividly seeing the trailer for that, like, on TVs and whatever about when it was a thing.
Yeah.
It really stuck with me, like the trailer did.
It was like the biggest movie that came out that year, I feel like.
Yeah.
Everybody, yeah, that was the talk of the town, especially because it was like, Natalie Portman is so fucking fine, and Anne Hathaway, right?
No.
It was Natalie Portman.
And Mila Kunis.
Mila Kunis.
Melior Kunis.
Yes. Why did I think it was Anne Hathaway?
And Emilio Estevez. He's not in the film, but what
no,
if he was?
He could have been. Better movie.
Better movie.
So what'd you think of it, though?
I enjoyed it a lot. It genuinely, I felt like I knew the plot just because, you know, that's one of those movies that you kind of just, I feel like, know about.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, man, there were some bits at the end that really, really surprised me. That I genuinely very much enjoyed.
I remember talking about that movie when it came out and telling people how that it was really fucking good and I really enjoyed it. And the response was usually, yeah, but it's about ballet. And I'm like, no, it's to me it's about obsession.
Yeah, it's not. It's ballet is the setting, is the backdrop.
Like, The Wrestler is much more about wrestling than Black Swan is about ballet.
Yes.
That makes sense.
But I would love to see the wrestling version of Black Swan.
Oh, I would too.
It ain't ballet.
That is exactly why I think he made The Wrestler next. Darren Aronofsky, What is... You just did this critically acclaimed, highly successful film about obsession and intensity at one's... at the cost of one's own physical and mental well-being. What is your next film going to be about? Well, it ain't ballet.
I actually...
That's awesome.
I kind of credit Black Swan with me not using or, like, really liking the phrase, it ain't ballet, in regards to pro wrestling, because I'm like... Oh no, this movie made me realize, I never thought that ballet was easy, right? Like, even when I'm a kid, yeah. I was like, yeah, I don't care about it, but I'm not going to say, I can't do that.
Yeah.
But watching Black Swan, I was like, oh, this is 100 million times worse and more difficult than I would have ever tried to think.
Yeah, there are some truly gnarly, like, body horror moments in it. And I'm a guy who likes the, like, sci-fi body horror, but there's some stuff in this where I was like, ah, hey, yeah.
Well, it's too real.
Yeah.
Like, it hits harder.
Because it seems, you know, like something that could happen.
This is so weird, and maybe... The cracking noise that's in all horror movies now...
Oh.
Get it the fuck out of here.
There's quite a bit of that.
It pisses me off.
Do you not like it because it's just overdone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like,
I thought maybe it would, like... It just gives you that, like,
no,
ooh reaction.
No,
it's like
it
the
doesn't.
Wettest, it's the wettest crack... and crunch you
it
ever
did
heard.
Maybe the first couple times, and then I'm like, all right, these motherfuckers need to go to a chiropractor.
It sounds like when you like you rip a leg off a turkey. Yeah, because of the wetness to it.
Yeah, see, there's a wetness. There's
a
moisture.
And it's like that, like, that moop. Find something else! I'm over it!
I also watched Underworld for the first time.
That's Kate Beckinsale.
That is Kate Beckinsale, brother. Not Natalie Portman, dude.
That's werewolves and vampires, dude.
Lycans and vampires, dude.
Kate Beckinsale's got them up and out in that movie.
She sure does, brother.
Up, but not out.
PG-13.
It is PG. So did Danny McBride actually write and produce that film? Like, the Danny McBride? Because he's listed as writer and producer.
I buy that. I 100% buy that.
That's kind of sick. The guy who wrote Eastbound and Down also did Underworld.
Well, he likes a bit of horror. He did that 2018 Halloween that was good, and then the other sequels...
Danny McBride did that?
Yeah.
Like,
this most recent... I hate this franchise so much that I have to say this phrase. This most recent trilogy. The first one was very much a Danny McBride thing.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
I think, didn't he have, like, a producer or something credit for Alien Covenant that he's also in? Alien Covenant of Ants.
Yes.
Oh my god, he is in that.
Witch
I watched Ants. That movie and I remember liking it.
I think Covenant's pretty fucking solid. That's a good
one. Is that the newest one that came out?
No.
No, that's Alien
Romulus.
Which, that one is fucking awesome.
I really like Romulus.
I remember liking Covenant.
Yeah. Covenant's...
Yeah.
I fucking hate all of these franchises where there's so many entries in them that it's like, yeah, that's a top five.
Okay, in the whole thing, and you're going to be so mad at me, in the whole thing, the first movie I ever watched was Prometheus.
Okay.
I was immediately annoyed. I was like, what is any of this? No context, none of this makes any sense. So it definitely does not stand on its own.
I'm going to tell you this, even if you had... context and, like, knowledge of the franchise, you would have been annoyed watching Prometheus because I went into that one
great.
I went into that one pretty hyped and came out, like, not hyped at all.
I really liked Michael Fassbender's performance.
Yeah.
His character...
questionable.
It's one of
those. I will die not knowing his motivations.
There doesn't seem to be
unclear.
He also, if he has some... He seems to tell everyone repeatedly to their face, I will betray you and kill human beings. And they are just kind of, LOL. I'm like, what?
No, you won't.
Why would you not listen to the machine? You can't. You're a machine. He clearly fucking wants to. Side note. Movie that you recommended to me months ago, The Ugly Stepsister.
Yes.
That I did watch.
Yes.
You see, it got an Oscar nod.
Did it really?
Yeah, special effects.
Yeah.
And they're it's
practical.
And I said,
worm.
Cool.
Oh no.
God, yeah.
All right,
that shit.
I don't know.
It's been long enough. The statute of limitations is up, Brady. You should see it.
It might be on the... Yeah, it might be on the list, but I don't
know. It's very good, and it's not long.
No. quite worth your time.
Yeah.
Better not be no fucking cracking. No, I'm kidding.
I bet there is. Just basically.
There's a little bit of cracking.
It's all of it. It's in all of them.
I can't remember if I talked about it last week or not, but I saw a movie called Creep. Did I bring this up?
Not
on the show.
Not that Creep that we were talking. Yeah, okay.
Right. Yeah. Did I bring this up on the show or not?
I can't remember.
So basically, guys, this movie called Creep had been really, like, well-reviewed and put over to me. So I went through some level of difficulty to find a DVD copy, and I got it because it's not streaming on anything. And then it was a region-specific DVD, and so then we learned that you can change the settings on a PS5, but you only get to do it 5 times, like some sort of bizarre monkey's paw situation. And then I watched the movie, and it fucking sucked. And I was like, well, that was some inconvenience and $12 fucking wasted. Anyways.
'Tis better to have lived than to have...
I'm glad that I know. And now that DVD can sit on my shelf forever and hopefully be worth more money in the future because it will never be back in print and I will sell it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got anything for the undercard, my dude?
No, I don't think so.
I ain't been to a theater.
I'm trying to think, but I haven't really seen anything.
Bad time for movies.
I've been playing God of War Sons of Sparta, which is pretty fun. It's a side-scroller, which is different. You're playing as Kratos when he's, like, 14 years old, or around about that time. So he's, like, a young Spartan. It's interesting.
Yeah.
The ghost.
Yes. Yeah.
Which I've killed many of. anyway. That's basically it for me.
Oh, yeah. Well, shall we get into this, then?
Unfortunately.
So, guys, here's what happened. came time to pick a show, and I decided, you know what? I want to pick something that, one, I have not seen, but also is of historical significance. Because I feel like we don't get a lot of those, like... We get moments, capital M, all the fucking time, it seems like, in wrestling. But we don't get those ones that are, like, really... Stick with you, stand the passage of time, right? John Cena's heel turn was 1 year ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't stick. It fucking all washes out. So I thought, you know what? What I want to watch is the formation of the NWO. I want to watch the Hogan heel turn, and I want to see the entire program. That program is not available because the network is dead, and every day I mourn it more and more. So I decided, oh, wait a minute. The Fed has been putting shit up on the WCW YouTube that they started. Perhaps it's there. Bash at the Beach 96. Nope, not in its entirety. You can watch the main event and maybe one or two matches, but you can't watch the whole show. And I said, fuck that. But then I saw on the thing, Bash at the Beach 94, featuring the WCW debut of Hulk Hogan. And I thought, bang, here we go. Not what I was aiming for. But... historical significance, something I had not seen.
Enough.
I made a mistake. I should have found a better way to watch 96.
Oh my god. This, so, I can't, so, all of, this is my disclaimer, basically, is what I'm trying to say, is I did not finish the show. I was hoping for maybe a television episode, and instead we were given a fucking textbook to read.
Yeah. I watched this entire show in one sitting. I got off work earlier tonight, got some shit done, was like, fuck it, I'm gonna sit down, and I'm gonna top to bottom, T to B this bitch, right? I hit play. I see the little runtime bar. 2 hours and 43 minutes. Now I'm immediately a little dismayed, but I've prepared, right? But then, just a few minutes into the intro, I hear Shivani or one of the commentators say... the phrase, we've got 6 huge matches in store for you. And I said, oh no. A 2:43 runtime.
6 matches.
6 matches? Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Guys, there were 14,000 people in attendance for this. 225,000 people bought this on pay-per-view.
To watch replays.
To watch Hogan's WCW debut. This was in the Orlando Arena in, you guessed it, Orlando.
Florida?
That's the one.
Ah.
The opening of this video, or I'm sorry, this opening video package, it's one of those things where time is a cruel bitch, right? I understand if you're running a wrestling company and you have managed to poach the biggest star, not just in the other company, but like, period.
Yeah.
You are going to focus on that. That's all that there is on this video package. And I was like, I get it. Also, I didn't realize that this is Hogan's first match in WCW. It's a main event of a pay-per-view.
I thought that's why you picked it, to piss me off.
No! his first match, main event pay-per-view, world title match, Flair. And I'm like, it doesn't... At this time, that is the biggest thing that could happen.
Yeah.
So then I was kind of like, all right, maybe I'm on board here. They didn't want me to stay on board, though.
Tony Schiavone says, WCW brings you something unimaginable. Damn right no human would think of this shit. No.
I love Heenan's undying hatred for Hogan. And I love that that transcended companies and heel-face alignments and the passage of time. I love that he would just never stop hating Hogan. They also put over... that Shaq is here?
Yeah.
And at first I was like, oh yeah.
The young rookie Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh no, in 94, he would have been like the biggest star in basketball and not just the spokesperson for the General's online auto insurance that he is now.
Is this Shaq's first wrestling appearance?
It might
be. I feel
like
it would have to be. Like, yeah, earlier... I don't know.
They talk about all sorts of dignitaries and celebrities, but they can't stop going back to, like, three particular ones.
It's fucking... All the stars are here!
Hank Aaron!
Hank Aaron! Shaq! Inoki! Others! And I'm like, you've already got the... Oh yeah, Suzanne Summers. You've got the weirdest shit already. You don't need more. fucking... The logo for the show and the graphic also popped me because I called it Fist Wave. Mm. WCW, they love beaches.
Yeah.
They love bashes.
They love a bash.
They do.
They can't not throw a bash.
They think at least one of them's great.
Also, this is technically the first ever Bash at the Beach pay-per-view.
Okay.
The year prior, it was called...
Beach Bash?
That is correct, Connor.
God damn it.
And then they switch it to Bash at the Beach, and then this runs until... This is a yearly show for them until the end of the company.
Yeah.
Which one became the Bash?
Great American Bash.
Yes. The Great American Bash that ran through the end of WCW, then was brought back to give us another historic
Suzuki
moment.
Versus... Question mark.
I was going to say the historic moment of Paul Bearer being buried alive.
Or that too.
And then that just became The Bash, which I think then ultimately just became Extreme Rules. No, One Night Stand became Extreme Rules.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
What's the best wrestling bash?
The finish of that one Jericho-Ray match where he rips the mask off of him mid-619. Mm.
The Basham Brothers.
That's correct.
That's a good one.
Anyway.
Points.
If you told me this was 1984, I would believe you.
Yeah.
Wrestling progressed a lot slower back then, I think.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy, though, is that, like... Okay, so this is from 94. Watch this compared to something from 2004, right? Night and day difference.
Yeah.
Watch something from 2014 and something from 2024.
Almost the same.
Yeah, I don't think... there's that much of a change.
Not really.
It feels like it progressed to a certain point in about the late aughts.
Well, how many more fucking pixels can you add?
We're already HD. We're already 4K.
We turned down plasma. Liquid wasn't good enough.
We already experimented with 8K cameras on entrances. Like, what are we doing?
Oh, that was bad.
I thought it looked cool certain times, but it was never, like, centered or shot well.
There was something
about
it.
It would look cool, but, like, yeah, it always felt wrong. Anyway, I don't... They replay something from a thing where... the word they say before Sherry,
sensuous.
I hate it.
Sensuous.
It's a bad word.
I didn't realize that they were using that as her name.
Sensuous Sherry.
Oh, look.
That's what it sounds like, but it is an actual word. I had to look it up, because I was like, they're just fucking this up, or making up something that sounds
like... No, that's how they say it, though.
Yeah, because it's all jarbled. I hate it.
They also reference...
Sensuous or sensual?
Sensuous.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sensual would have been way better.
Guys, I hate Paul Roma.
We all hate Paul Roma. They also used the phrase live interactive telecast, and I was like, aw, baby internet is here.
They're live in the AOL chat rooms.
you got to type your message using a rotary phone.
So Sensational Sherry runs in as a man in disguise and then takes the atomic drop of all time.
Hogan's hand.
Yeah.
Full of her ass and just walking around. But yes, it is the best atomic drop of all time.
And then she immediately no-sells it to take off the disguise.
Oh yeah, it's pretty great.
It's like, your spine should be shot through the top of your body.
I kind of liked how this was done, though, because it justified what the opening match was. So they're saying it was going to be Sting versus Regal. This bullshit happens on, I guess they said, WCW Saturday Night, because this is pre-Nitro. This is pre-Thunder, you know, the greatest wrestling show of all time.
Yeah.
So...
You know what we get instead?
Mm.
Mr. WCW opener himself.
Oh,
Johnny B. Bad.
Johnny B. Bad is here, guys.
Dude!
And that is the face of a man who is neither on steroids nor cocaine.
I wrote down, I swear to God, any time that we do WCW not from 2000, Johnny B. Bad will be in the first fucking match.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, okay, so even before the match happens, there's a couple other things. I'm not clear on what happened, and I watched the whole replay.
Oh, the Sting from WCW thing?
Yeah.
Or Saturday Night thing? Yeah. I think I made this make sense in my mind.
Okay.
Okay, so Sting is going to win the belt from Flair. He has the Scorpion Deathlock on, right?
Yeah.
Sensational Sherry.
Sensuous
Sherry. Since she was gone, I can breathe for the first time.
Yeah.
Dressed as a man for reasons that I'm not really clear on.
Unclear,
thank you. Gets into the ring and beats the shit out of Sting. Hogan then ineffectively stops Minshew Sherry. Because she's dressed like a man, baby.
That's a man, baby.
So he stops her. Then is befuddled that she's a woman. Then Flair... scurryingly chop blocks Hogan, and then he's like doing that thing where he's running on his knees like when you're trying to pretend to be a kid. Chop blocks Hogan. Then I think didn't somebody else come out and beat up Sting? Or was Sting just selling Sensuous Sherry Sensuous Beatdown?
I think it was the eye gouge, because they say that he has like a scratched cornea or some bullshit. So they're selling that it was Sensational Sherry. Sensuous Sherry's.
I don't know who that is.
I don't know who that is.
It's me, 1920s investigator. I don't know who Sensational Sherry is, sure.
Sensuous-ational.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Are you saying yeah, sure, or yes, sir?
Sure.
Heenan annoys me here. I have no other notes. I don't know what specifically it was. I watched a Wrestling with Regret video on Johnny B. Bad, so I have some facts for you. Johnny B. Bad, the man who changed how pro wrestling contracts work. He was like the first person to get like a
guaranteed
downside guarantee.
Contract or something like that, and it like kind of changed how that all worked or whatever. He's the man who captained The Rock in his first match. He's the man who introduced a star to WWF so big it ended up reviving the women's wrestling to some degree and ended up giving the path towards the women's revolution, ultimately.
That's a bit aggrandizing.
But that's a little butterfly effecting. He definitely did introduce a star that was at that point, like, up
heads
there.
Heads and shoulders above everyone else.
It would have been like Austin, eventually Rock and Sable were, like, the draw.
Yeah.
Man.
I didn't know he had that many, like, obviously the last part is very much,
was he the first person on WWF programming to do a shooting star press?
I would imagine.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Nobody else in the Fed would have been doing it, especially at that point. It's insane how...
I don't know, maybe a Flash Funk, but I don't know how early...
I don't even know if Scorp ever did the shooter.
I don't remember.
I feel like he probably could, but didn't. Like, that's
I don't remember ever seeing him do it either. I'm just saying, if there was someone who did before, it had probably been him. Yeah.
That's wild. Regal's youth here.
Holy shit.
I was actually, as soon as I saw what this was, I was like, oh, this should be excellent.
Yeah, he's 26 years old, by the way.
Fuck.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
I meant his youth compared to now.
Yeah.
He does, I don't think he looks 26 here. He's seen some shit.
Yeah.
He's 30-something. I don't know.
Well, so he's already done a tour of Japan, because...
Oh, yeah.
Not to skip ahead after this match or whatever, but he's shit-talking Inoki.
Which, we'll get to that, because I was... I noticed something as this match was happening. I wrote down
that
somehow...
Regal is really good.
Yep, I wrote down, Regal is so fucking excellent at literally almost any aspect of being a pro wrestler.
Yeah.
And I wrote down somehow... And I called him Mark Mero here. I wrote down, somehow Mero is both good and bad at the same time.
I really want to like Mark Mero.
I do too. You know what I noticed in this?
Hmm.
When he's moving, it's great. Like, he's explosive, his shit's crisp. When he is having to wrestle, it ain't.
Hmm. Okay.
He's not good at the fancy.
And he
kind of
has to do that with Regal.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And, I mean... I just noticed, like, watching Regal do the exchanges and the holds, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, what a fucking masterclass. And then, you know, Johnny B. Badd's doing these arm ringers where he looks like he's trying to fucking twist the top off a fire hydrant or some shit. And little stuff like that. But then, like, when he would actually be, like, bumping Regal and stuff, I was like, it looked great.
You're probably right. Heenan at one point says, you have to be very careful about Johnny B. Badd. He can win a match. I was agog.
Yeah.
I fucking love that.
I mean, yeah.
You fucking losers
out there. I guess.
You losers out there better watch out for this guy.
Looking at you, Pistol Pez Wiley. Was he still with the company at the time?
Probably.
Pistol
Pez Wiley is a deep, deep...
They do a bunch of fucking shit. And drop kicks and punches and whatever the fuck. And then they lock up, and I out loud while watching this went, oh my, as they're circling, I went, oh my fucking God. Oh my fucking God. And they locked up. I was blown away.
I noticed that too. It fucking, I was like, does Regal not trust this guy to, like, do anything better here, and it's just like, reset, love. Like, I thought this match was long, but...
Yeah.
They got, as is Johnny B. Badd tradition...
Oh my God.
They got time.
Yeah.
Unrelated. If I'm Steve Austin later on the show, I'm going to the back and finding Mark Mero and being like, God damn, son, you could have shot more fucking glitter all over this goddamn ring.
It's there the whole show.
It's unbelievable.
We didn't have and singular broom.
No,
he's
no,
standing
not one.
In the back.
There's
standing
still a,
in the back.
There's still a piece of it in the ring
yes.
right now. This is hours later.
Just Stone Cold in the back, and I saw Mark go to the ring with these fucking confetti cannons, and I was like, where are these going?
Better not be any of that goddamn confetti out there when I get out there.
Confetti.
We gotta get this shit out of the ring. Get that air hose over here, and it needs to be blowing.
Fucking Regal takes a divorce court, kind of like an arm ringer, like down into the mat, Nigel style.
Why are you bringing his personal life into this,
folks? he takes this so hard, and the sell is so good, and it just made me be like, I wish more people would commit to driving themselves collarbone
face
first
and,
and 40 miles an hour.
Just you wait when Cotter absolutely knocks the fuck out of himself doing it tomorrow with Carl.
Yeah.
Bob Wire.
I can tell that I was still quite angry after work because when I wrote this note in particular, because I wrote down, there comes a time where there's not even something to learn from this bullshit. Little harsh.
It was a pretty good match.
Oh, man.
Don't lie, Heenan. No one's talking about Steve Austin yet.
Oh, man. I like that you were cognizant enough to say, little harsh. But that's fucking muddy. Regal just kind of wins.
He just gets him.
Yeah.
Weird, awkward, deflating finish after all that is what I wrote.
And it was so strange because, like, I looked away for a second and then I heard the bell and I was like, wait, what? And I actually had to rewind it. I was like, what? I.
Describe for the people what happens.
I don't know if I can. It just kind of looked like. There was a small reversal, and then Regal just got a schoolboy.
That's
right?
Pretty much exactly what happened.
Yeah, it's some sort of a roll-up.
I don't know that
he's got the
boy.
Cane.
No, yeah.
Right? He's pinning him on, while kneeling on his shoulders.
He's
got the cane. The
ref kicks that's what it,
it
is. Yeah.
And then...
It's like a jackknife
back
thing.
Back to the, like, sunset flip position, but he rolls through and then goes to, like, the Rhea Ripley pin-ish.
Right.
Kind of.
Sex pin.
Sex pin.
But, like, he's got tights. They show on the replay he's also got tights. But it's like, you can't really see that. It's,
and it wasn't, it like...
If they could have positioned it diagonally...
Sure.
I know that's weird. But, like, if they could have positioned it diagonally to where Regal could have used the ropes on the back part, I would have been fully there for it.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
Because, see, like, normally I kind of like when a match will just end sometimes because it feels more like a sport to me and it feels, like, fresh. But this one wasn't a satisfying ending. It was just a, it was just a fucking roll-up.
Yeah.
And
it's the opener. Do a move.
Yeah. And you're a heel. Cheat. Like, do something, like.
Yeah.
Grab the ropes, at least.
Right, yeah, for sure. Okay, at this next segment, my brain started to, like, pull itself apart a little bit. So, Inoki and his chin are here.
Yeah. Oh my god, yeah.
You think they had to get two different plane tickets?
He looks like, almost like an inverse of the Easter Island heads. Where's
Inoki, and they say recently here, was like recently elected to...
He's basically, what is it,
senator?
A senator?
Yeah,
Japan.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, is that why they keep saying that there are dignitaries here?
That says plural, though. And
there's, like,
to my count,
him
we're...
and one, like, some French-Canadian gal or something.
Can you imagine a dignitary going to the wrestling in Orlando?
In Orlando, Florida.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm pretty sure Queen of Thighmaster is here. So, you know, don't speak poorly.
And she has diplomatic immunity in Orlando.
She's got those plates.
So Mean Gene's kind of do this little intro thing for Inoki. They're going to present him with a plaque. I wrote down, what is happening? This is weird. This is wild.
Fuck you, Steve Regal. We've got to give Inoki this award now.
Regal, still quite sweaty and a little winded from his match. I don't think... They made it look like he went to the back. And it felt to me like he just walked up the ramp a little bit.
That seems more realistic.
And then just turned around and came back.
Yeah.
He cuts this promo.
Good promo.
Very good promo. Calling out Inoki, says something about how, what was it like, there was some weird threat in here about, like, if you step back in the ring with me, Sunshine, I was like, dude, no! Bullshit! Bullshit!
They give you those big slaps.
They do end up wrestling each other.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I thought Inoki was long done at this point.
I'd have to look up exactly when, but in the Wrestling with Regret video, he said they go on to wrestle, I think, at like the Clash or something.
Wow. Maybe,
I'm not sure. I could be wrong on that. It's at some point, but they do have a match.
That's crazy. I did not know that. That's cool, though, that they actually use this to set that up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe.
And, dude, the pop for Inoki just taking off his jacket.
Yeah.
Huge.
Pretty cool.
Inoki had fucking aura, man.
Yeah. It's awesome. I also did enjoy... There was something... Oh, it made me remember how long WCW had that working relationship with New Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Because for some reason, I only ever think about it being like the middle of their run. And then I'm like, no, it was damn near the whole time.
Yeah.
Because they had the NWO New Japan contingent.
Yep.
But they were always bringing guys over.
They always had Muta.
Kensuke Sasaki had this weird U.S. title run. Yeah. Where they had to get the belt off of him, and they had him... It was one of those things where, like, they had him retain in Japan and then lose in... Or maybe vice versa, but they basically, like, just took the belt off of him without him ever losing it, because he was just going back to Japan.
Oh.
So, like, Max Payne, I think, was technically U.S. champion for a day or some weird shit.
Good for Max Payne.
Yeah, sure.
He earned it.
Man Mountain Rock.
Yeah, Man Mountain Roll.
God damn it, I should have expected it.
You know what I should have expected?
I recognize that dog shit theme anywhere.
That's
my next note.
Well, it's Vader time. Oh, Ventura's here, though, at this point.
Yeah, it's always nice to hear from the body.
This is anger that I will not apologize for. It is not too harsh. I wrote, Vader sucks in any company. He's not psychologically smart. He doesn't do anything that any other blob could do. The blob in X-Men Origins Wolverine is better than Vader. I wrote that last sentence specifically because I called him a blob, and then I thought of that character.
You just call me blob?
No, I said bub. Anyway.
Well, I'm going to kill you now.
And that movie sucks.
It does.
Yeah, but Vader's pretty cool, though.
I hated this match. I think this is the first Guardian Angel match I've ever seen.
Holy shit.
I
wasn't looking. I was looking at my phone or something when I heard Guardian Angel or whatever. And I went, oh man, Vader's about to just crush some schmuck. And then I looked up and I went, Boss Man?
Dude.
What? Ray Traylor? Big Bub, you're Rogers. You want to talk about most repackaged guys
in
wrestling?
Holy shit, man.
I didn't know Guardian Angel was a thing.
I knew it, but I didn't remember it like being this. This fucking Community Center t-shirt that he's got on. You know what font I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The hat, all this, it was bad. Him being the babyface, and they're like, the man who stands for law and order. And everyone's like, yeah, rules and regulations. I'm like, why is any of this? Is this after the dude hit him with the, so far as I'm concerned, you're not the boss? Is that what led to this?
I have no idea.
It might have been. I don't know.
No, you go.
Here's the deal.
It's a good car.
I stand.
Remember the Yugo?
No. It's bad. I've actually watched a review of a Yugo. It's really bad.
The two gut punches looked alright. The other wild clubs barely connected and looked like shit. I fucking hate Vader, especially when Big Bubba in a t-shirt is effortlessly way fucking better in every way.
Vader does some sort of a spinning ass at the beginning of this that I was like, was that supposed to be a kick there, Leon?
He does a spinning wheel kick or some sort where he doesn't leave his one foot and falls down. But then he does the Vader salt and lands on his head.
Vader salt was pretty cool. Raymond Traylor is running in this fucking match. I always forget how... He's one of those guys, too, that's, like, deceptively big, right?
They said, at one point, Vader crashes into him and they say on commentary, 450 meets 320 or something like that.
Sure.
And it's just
he's
like...
And he's tall.
Holy fuck. Those are some big fucking boys, though. Yeah. Even if that's not shoot, you know, you could take, what, 75 pounds off of that or whatever, you know? It's still two gigantic fucking guys.
There's an awesome slam from, I wrote down Bubba in this.
He holds him with one arm for a while. He's so good. There's a shot of, like, people in the crowd, and I'm like, I wrote down, even Inoki hates this shit.
Bullshit.
You know what?
Bullshit.
You know what I did like about this match, though?
Hmm.
The fact that the Guardian Angel will not stop beating up Harley Race at ringside.
Yeah.
He will kick his fucking ass.
One point, I felt like he was trying to have a match with Harley, because he legit goes to the outside. At one point, Bossman is like, he's in control of the match, and he just rolls out of the ring and fucking gets in Harley Race's face. He hits him 5 times in this. Yeah. And then at one other point, Harley Race gets up on the apron. I'm like, I would too. He's been assaulting you this whole time. And Ray Traylor still gets up on him.
He goes up on the top, though, and then he's asking for it.
Yeah.
He gets flared off and then thrown out of the ring. And Harley Race is taking some crazy bumps in this match.
It's crazy shit.
At his big age.
Big Boss Man's punches are way better.
I actually commented on his punches, too. I thought they were pretty good.
I wrote down,
you can hear Raiders.
I wrote down, what a knee bar, bro. What a knee bar.
Oh, my God.
Vader is the worst wrestler to have worn black and red.
I don't know if he cracks the top 10.
There's a sunset flip in this match. And it's so insane to me because, one, neither of these guys are... Like, we just got done talking about how big they are. Two, Vader does this, like, off the fucking ropes and still overshoots him and then has to fucking try to grab his thighs and Boss Man just sits on him. Cool spot, whatever. But you know what? I like that Ventura covered for it on commentary.
Ventura is better on commentary than Heenan.
Ooh.
Heenan annoys me, and I did not like him at all, one bit, not really one word on this show.
That's crazy to me.
That's so insane.
I like Heenan. I think that Heenan got better as time went on because he's just funny, but I love Ventura.
He certainly is the funniest man he knows. That's only because he hasn't met Lawler in my headcanon.
That's your nightmare. That's your nightmare duo. Two collar guys. I also wrote down something about that horrible leg lock bullshit. I was like, I don't know what this is. There's this weird finish that I had to try to make sense of.
Yeah, okay, yes. But right before that, because he does the moonsault.
Yes.
And the moonsault means nothing because he hit the move, and it was a fucking double down into a run-in.
I remember because it was so confusing to me.
I don't know.
I wrote down, wait, why is Boss Man up? It felt like he was supposed to get the knees up or something, and just didn't.
Yeah. Right before the finish, I wrote down, why do we continue to do this shit every weekend? That's where this show had me.
So, it's nightstick drama for the finish.
Yeah.
So, Harley Race, after suffering...
Yeah, this was kind of bullshit.
Harley Race has suffered a severe beating. He gives the nightstick to Vader, right? Boss Man takes it, poses with it. The crowd desperately wants him to hit Vader with it.
But because he's the Guardian Angel and he abides by the 3-strike rule and he doesn't believe in weapons...
So he
doesn't think they're real.
What?
So he does nothing, right? The ref sees him with the nightstick, calls for the DQ. Here is where I went, what the fuck even for any of this? Number one, whoosh! Vader, your monster heel, this world beater.
Cowering from nightstick,
celebrating the DQ win, needing help from the manager. Not like...
Those all add up to me.
Huh?
Vader's a bitch. He doesn't mean anything.
The presentation of this, I was like, what the fuck? This is bullshit. Then I went a step further.
the guardian angel, the man who represents law and order, being fucked over by the rules after adhering to the rules.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that contradict, like, a core tenet of the character? Shouldn't he, like, win because he plays by the rules and lose because someone else breaks them? Question mark?
No, but you see, he was hoisted by his own petard.
I don't know. I just take it as, like, to me, the character's like...
Here's what I would do. Here's how you fix this, in my head, at least.
You can't just say, take Vader out of the match.
No, no. You have Vader use the fucking thing.
Sure.
And it doesn't work. He goes to use it again. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. I'm going to break the law because you broke the law, even though I'm an upstanding, whatever. Right. And then it comes back to bite him because the ref sees this. He didn't use it, but he was going to because he used it first.
But he doesn't believe in weapons.
I don't care about that part of the character.
They don't exist.
He doesn't think they're real or exist.
He's holding it.
He doesn't believe in it, though.
At this point in my viewing experience, I think I was a couple beers in because I just wrote down, needs more falsies.
Let me see a big implant DDT from Vader on Big Bub here.
After this, not good match.
What's
at
your
all.
Favorite falsie?
Hey! Ooh, that's a great question.
Like, specifically.
What's your favorite falsie?
Like that. Mine's the super kick into the pedigree at WrestleMania 28.
That's my answer, too.
No, 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 wait. Actually, no. I don't mean. Actually, no, I don't mean specific. I mean, like, go to. Like.
Superplex, catch the inside cradle.
Yes.
Because I just don't.
Okay.
I superplex you, but when you hit, you hook my leg in the inside crate.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. I don't know that I would have an answer immediately. I'm impressed with how quickly you answered.
Blue Thunder Bomb.
It's because I so rarely see it. The Blue Thunder Bomb?
Yeah. It's a cool
move. It is an effective falsie.
It's a cool move. It's easy to do. It's easy to take.
Sure.
And it always gets a reaction on a two count, and you'll never win with it.
By that metric, I'm kind of leaning towards, like, Cutter or something.
Yeah. See, for me, I want to...
Cutter's too much of a finish, in my opinion.
It's too hard. See,
I want it to be, but...
Randall Keith is still rocking, the Cutter ain't dead.
You're right.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. The Super Kick ain't died till 2010.
Yeah.
These are thrust kicks now. 2009.
2009, okay.
No, 2010. 2010.
2010.
2009 is the first match for Shawn. 2010 is the...
Okay, yeah.
The 2009 match of the year.
2018.
Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker. And then they fucking... Yeah. That's a really good fucking question, because I don't really think of it as, like, an actual move. For me, for a false finish, for me, it's got to be something where either I've seen matches end on it.
Yeah.
Or it is so clever... Like FTR. FTR always has great falsies because they're so good at, like, the ring positioning and shit, right?
If I had to pick, like, a basic move, I would say, for the same reason, because I would want it to be a finish, but it's so rarely done as a finish anymore, but it's still one of those devastating pile driver.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like...
I think this is a controversial take, and this is just sidebar. Pile driver means more now than it did in the 90s.
Yeah.
I don't think that's controversial at all. Yeah, I think that's pretty well widely accepted.
Can I admit on this pod that I've been fully stealing from Jeremy Wyatt when it comes to pile driver psychology?
Yeah. Also, you know he's on his way to Germany right now?
Yeah, that's kind of why I wanted to shout him out, because he's on his way to go do WXW.
Yeah, that's cool.
Which is sick as fuck.
That's he's going to kill it.
Oh, yeah.
Not a fucking doubt in my mind.
I can't wait for him to explode over there just because he's going to blow everyone's fucking doors off.
He is awesome.
Yes. Pure professional wrestling.
Speaking of pile drivers.
Yeah.
They play this replay.
Oh my god. I laughed. This
fucking double pile driver fail.
Holy shit.
They play it in full.
I wrote down, why would you show the botch in a highlight video?
It is...
We're live, pal.
Insane.
But we're not, dude. We're taped and edited, pal. Shit's been in the can for weeks.
Not a single jump cut. Not a single cut back to the crowd, cut to where we've moved on.
And they never get it. They don't get the pile driver. He lifts him once. Terry hooks his legs, and he's too far out, so he falls forward and tries to get back up there. Dude falls down.
Yeah.
He hooks him up for a second time. Terry's not even up there, and he falls forward, and they move on.
Yeah.
Terry just beats his ass with the fucking branding iron.
Why did they leave that in? If that had not been in, I would have been like, wow, what a fucking feud. But
yeah.
When it was happening, I was like, wait, does everyone suck? Like,
still the best Terry on this show.
Dude, I wrote down Terry Funk ruled so hard. That's good stuff. Followed closely by Arn Anderson fucking rules so hard.
He was really fucking good.
You stupid son of a bitch.
There's a fucking clip of one woman against two men, the Sassy Boys.
This clip made me hang up my boots.
Why did they show this? What was this? Why did this happen?
It was a local radio station duo or something.
You're on pay-per-view. You don't need...
We've got six matches for you.
Oh my fucking Lord God.
There is none.
It was befuddling.
God was dead well before 1994.
Only ever. So then we get Bunkhouse Buck and Terry Funk.
From Bucksnort.
Otherwise known as Funkhouse Fuck.
Yes!
That's what I want to call him.
Now. Funk House Brother Terry Funk now. Funk House
Brother.
against the
check
team.
It out now. Funk House Fucker. Sorry. Sorry.
Oh. Check it out now. Funk Buck Hucker.
Why the fuck is Meng here?
Buttfucker. Wait.
I don't think that's the restaurant. Buttfuckers.
I remember the first time I ever even saw a Fuddruckers. I
didn't think you were allowed to say that out loud.
Yeah.
I'd never heard of it, and I just see this giant sign, and I go, what the fuck is that place?
Anyway.
Against the team of Arn Anderson and Dustin Rhodes. Dustin, in this match specifically, he truly looks like if you started with Dusty and you're ending with Cody, right? But you're doing the Animorph thing.
Yeah.
It's the in-between.
He's like stage three on that graphic, right? And then I'm like, it is so weird to think that they are brothers.
Yeah.
Because I know there's an age difference there, right? But for me, it feels like it's 40 years.
Legit, how old is Dustin, though?
He's got to be at least 15, 18 years older than Cody.
Yeah.
In real life. But it always feels like it's so much 30, more than
yeah.
that. It also made me realize Dustin is still working.
He's the only person in that match.
Like so Dustin is 16 years older than Cody. Cody is 40.
Okay.
Dustin is 56.
So yeah, I was fairly close, but...
15 to 18.
Yeah.
This match opens with Dustin potatoing the fuck out of everyone.
Yeah. Pretty great.
For like 2.5 minutes.
And that's kind of what it should be, like, structurally.
The dog's an asshole.
Oh.
But do you know... Oh my word.
Okay.
You know what happens after?
No.
They
lock up.
I don't understand how certain things that, like, I get the progression of wrestling. Oh, we didn't do that yet. We didn't go off the top rope yet. I get that.
Right.
How do you go from hitting to wrestling?
Especially for, like, a heated feud. Like,
yeah.
It's been built for a while. Bunkhouse Buck, a.k.a. Matt Bourne? Bourne.
Bunkhouse Buck was...
Is Doink? Yes.
Holy shit!
Yeah.
That just blew my mind.
That doesn't seem right.
That doesn't seem right.
Pretty sure that I'm right.
I don't think you're allowed to do that.
Be right?
Yeah.
I am allowed many things. This match I thought was like, it was fine, but it was a thing where it's like, I could see where this was going so fucking clearly from the get-go.
What do you mean? It's only the same storyline that WCW has done a million times.
Bunkhouse Buck is not...
He's not
doink? Not Matt Bourne. No.
Who is he?
He might have been a doink at some point, I don't know, but, like, he's not. It's not listed here as this. He's, like, he's part of the Golden Wrestling family.
Huh.
Yeah. Because I knew immediately when it said retired American professional wrestler, I was like, well, I didn't say dead, and he's still alive.
Oh, shit, we should get Bunkhouse Buck for Dreamwave.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yes.
Anyway,
I even wrote down, Bunkhouse Buck is the man who would be doink. Why did I convince myself of this?
Because he kind of looks like that.
I guess. at some point on commentary, Ventura says, you called me political, and I was like, you don't know what's coming, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. Dustin is killing these guys, I wrote. at one point, there was a duck the crossbody where Dustin, like, slides underneath the bottom rope out to the... That was cool. I like that.
I love that.
Dustin's moving here, man.
Yeah, he is.
Another deceptively big dude.
Yeah.
I wrote down, Arn's really gonna do fuck all till the hot tag. That rules.
there's a... Fuck. There's a Rude Awakening style neckbreaker in this match that I can't remember who hit it on who, but I was like, oh my god, it's so fucking painful and it's so terrifying. If you're listening to this and you don't know the exact difference, picture the CM Punk neckbreaker, catch the line, best in the world, everyone falls flat except for Jey Uso. did you see that?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking goddamn.
The Rude Awakening one, Rick Rude's finish, is the one where you both sit down, take an ass bump at the same time. Yeah. The guy delivering the hold presumably would let go of your head on the way down so that you'd snap upwards.
If we want to be technical, I would say that CM Punk does the swoop you do neckbreaker cutter and Rick Rude does the neckbreaker stunner.
If you I like that. Yep, that's a good way to fucking put it. The Rude Awakening neckbreaker is a terrifying move to take. It is a terrifying move to do. I learned how to do it in training. Never. Ever. I've never taken one.
I ain't about sit-out moves in general.
The timing on it has to be perfect, or else you're taking an ass bump on, like, the ring coming up, the rebound. It is dude, Braden, when I tell you we spent, like, hours in training doing that fucking move because my trainer liked it.
Stupid.
And I'm like, I fucking hate this. It's painful as fuck. Even when you do it right, it still hurts. Fuck it.
This match gets to a point... Well, first of all, Bunkhouse Buck just had a cell of an eye rake that I really, really liked.
I liked a lot of his stuff in this match, actually. He had that, like, kind of, like, almost Mox-ish.
Yeah.
Like, ugliness, like, little things around him.
Yeah.
And then Terry Funk's obviously awesome. But I rake sale. I'm sorry.
But then this match gets to a point where, because obviously the I rake comes from a babyface.
Oh yeah.
Dustin starts to make some sort of a comeback. And I wrote down tag out because he spends so long not tagging out, and then he does a stupid fucking noggin knocker where he's trying to get Bunkhouse up and he doesn't get up. So he's just like, all right, I guess you're sitting for this.
Fucking blew me away too because I was like, are they just tired? Are they drunk? Are they not working anymore? Have they decided we're done?
Is Dustin just going too fucking fast?
Like, because, yeah, is it like, I think Funk is on his knees selling something, and he grabs Bunkhouse Buck's head and drives it into Terry Funk's head, but, like, one's standing and one's kneeling?
It's something, I don't know.
Kevin kneeling?
And then I wrote down a second time, tag out!
Dude, at one point, he starts fighting back and, like, do an Irish whip, and I'm like, you've been getting your shit pushed in for the past 12 minutes, Dustin. You gotta get out of that fucking ring.
Which only made me more angry at the fucking finish.
I literally wrote down, just tag Arn, swerve, and then in large letters, God damn it. I like a good swerve in wrestling.
Yeah.
I like Swerve Strickland in wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This just felt like we're just doing this swerve. Why? Well, Dustin needs something to do. You can take those out of there.
Well, because we're World Championship Wrestling, and if someone's supposed to be tagging with Arn Anderson or any member of the Four Horsemen, no, they're not.
No.
They did this exact fucking finish with Ric Flair and Sting at Halloween Havoc 95.
Thank you! Because I was watching this, and I couldn't quite place it, but I was like, this is so hauntingly familiar. It almost felt like the camera shot was the same. Like, I was having some weird deja vu.
Only
but
they
I didn't realize
did
that it was that,
thing.
And that we did that show.
Yeah. Only they did the whole, like, he's crawling desperately for the tag, and he gets it, which creates the necessary drama for that swerve. Dustin's fucking winning the match, and he's like, all right, Arn, you want to come in and fucking get the technicality win? I choose
Arn
to believe
was
that's
probably,
why Arn turned.
That's exactly what I was just going to say, is that's why Arn turned on him, because he was like, God damn it, bro, I'm in this match too.
That actually would have been pretty fucking great.
Yeah, that honestly.
Maybe that's the intro.
You ask for my help, and then you're just in there doing everything? Fuck you, don't waste my time.
I put my gear on for this.
I could have been hanging out with Flair, or home. Having a soup.
Eating pork steak.
Bailey, forget about this.
Oh, shit. delete that. I then wrote down in large capital letters, future Futurama guest star, Hank Aaron.
Future Futurama.
They interview Hank Aaron. He is literally saying, I'm rooting for both of them. They ask him, the big matchup tonight, Hulk Hogan. Mr. McMahon.
Hulk Hogan.
Mr. McMahon.
Hulk Hogan.
Master McMahon.
Why don't we settle this in the ring? Why don't we settle it in bed?
What?
This is what I mean. Like, this, in a way, this, what we're
yeah.
covering here, led to that segment. We should have just fucking ended it. We would all have...
wives
like
and money.
Spot. Yeah.
Never forget that somehow Bash at the Beach of 94 led to the Miller Lite Catfight Girl segment.
Well, in a way.
We are all connected.
That is post WCW bought.
Yeah.
So that continuity was blended into
Hogan's the... there. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Hogan.
Hulk Hogan.
Tony Schiavone says, you gotta give Dustin credit. He took on two men at a time during that match. I was like, it's a fucking tag match!
Also, I'm a pervert, and whenever Schiavone... Like, there's a certain way of old-timey wrestling speak where they say, like, yeah. Oh, he took two men at once! Really gave him what for? where I can't not laugh a little bit about...
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that Captain America comic from, like, the 40s or some shit when the phrase dick meant, like, I'm being legit with you.
Yeah.
And there's some Captain America comic from the time where he straight up just is looking at some character or child and says, let me give you the straight dick. It's a fucking speech bubble.
Whoa.
There's an ad for Fall Brawl War Games.
Yeah.
Then they
War
say,
Games was a new thing at the time.
Then as soon as they cut back from it, Schiavone says, we don't know who will be in War Games, and I wanted to say, or why, but they're going to be.
We're going to put them in it.
Everyone's kind of getting along right now, but I bet by the time War Games comes around, there'll be
about 8 to 10 guys who are going to really have a problem with each other, but not their team.
I want...
Guys, we've got a real problem. There's not enough... There's not enough tension in the air. We don't have enough blood feuds. And Hell in a Cell is right around the corner. We have to have a Hell in a Cell match.
I fucking hate that shit.
Yeah. They did it for years.
Yeah.
And got away with it.
A lot of years. For a lot of different matches for that fucking...
Everyone has let WWE get away with shit like that for years because they were the only option. And you want to talk about what radicalized me as a child? That.
Fuck, man.
Yeah.
Like, every so often when we do talk about WCW, I'm like, I wish that it had stayed in business.
Yeah.
If for no other reason than to see what it would have become.
Yeah. I'm not saying they have to be around now, but give me another fucking 10 years of WCW.
But also, I mean, just in general, like, competition is good.
Yes.
For wrestling. Like, I'm never not going to fucking say that, but like...
It forces them to not be dog shit.
Ring of Honor should be the biggest company in the world.
I had some, like, weird alternate timeline thought of if Ring of Honor hadn't... When Ring of Honor was for sale, right, and Tony Khan bought it. Remember when there was that hot second where people thought the Fed was going to buy Ring of Honor just for the tape library and, like, shut it down?
Yeah.
Imagine if ROH had been for sale 5 years prior. Because that's before AEW exists. Mm. We all know Tony Khan's a big Ring of Honor fanboy.
Yeah, he would have just...
Imagine if he had bought Ring of Honor and just poured his money into, like... Not starting a new company, just being like, I'm gonna fucking... I'm a billionaire. You're Ring of Honor, you're gonna be huge. What a fucking world we could be living in now of... Ring of Honor versus the World Wrestling Federation.
And it's no contest.
Featuring TNA.
Yeah. Because it's no contest. Because Ring of Honor can literally go, all of your top guys, LOL.
In this fantasy scenario, let's say that everything else like relatively stays the same. New Japan's about to get fucking hot.
Mm-hmm.
Bullet Club's about to be the biggest thing in the fucking world. The Fed's going to start NXT and it'll suck, then be awesome, then...
Yeah.
Suck.
Then now be unwatchable, in my opinion. Yeah, what a fucking universe that'd be.
Hey, man.
Yeah, dude.
I'm starting to think that maybe professional wrestling should be the star of this whole professional wrestling thing that we do.
What? I agree.
What? Surely you don't mean that.
Why is it all about money? That's not about wrestling. Anyway.
This Flair promo.
Yeah.
I thought the Flair part of this promo was fine. I thought it was very strong, right?
It's a decent Flair promo.
The sensuous Sherry part was
sensuous.
Awesome. I thought she was fucking great in this promo.
Yeah.
She sounds so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's just got that voice, you know, that like you can't fake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate realism. Like, there's that Arn Anderson promo.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's later, yeah. I've got that written down. Yeah.
Where I'm like, you can't fake that kind of shit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Our next contest is for the WCW United States Championship. 94 Stunning Steve Austin versus 94 Ricky Steamboat. And I said,
the GOAT.
This is going to rule.
Yeah.
And I loved this.
Yeah.
This, I'll just jump to my last note on this, and then we'll go back.
Yeah.
You know, Nolan. Anyway.
Looper. Nice.
Hmm.
That match was damn good. In a way, I liked it more because it was so long, because it felt like... I think this is the most I've felt like a match felt like if pro wrestling was a fighting style,
like
for real,
like a sport, like if
a
this
real,
was
a real actual
combat.
Style of combat,
mm-hmm.
where there are rules and certain things you can't do or whatever,
right?
And I don't know, this just felt like if a match actually happened, this might be how it goes.
I agree. For me, this was in that sweet spot of, I know this is, these guys are working. Like, I can tell that the bulk of this is on the fly, right?
Oh, yeah.
But I also know that, like, they both, like, Steamboat, you know, an all-timer, famously cared about his craft a lot.
Yeah.
But, you know, just driven by money. Austin, at this point, is probably considered one of the best wrestlers in the world, if not, like...
He is the underutilized... He's the curse of the good hand at this point. Like, he's the best mid-carder in the world.
Dude, it blew my mind watching this because I kept thinking about... Okay, we were talking about earlier on the show, the difference in wrestling over a period of time, right? How much can it change in 10 years? Austin is 3 years away, almost to the day... of Austin 316.
Mm.
3 years.
Yeah.
How many people have been in NXT for 3 years and ain't never even seen television?
He's 10 years away from being gone and not even a general manager anymore.
Yeah.
His run is over in 10 years and he retires as the top guy.
Yeah.
The top guy.
Yeah. Probably the most famous, like, he's one of the, what, top two, three most famous wrestlers in the fucking world, even now, still?
Yeah. And if he's not the most famous, he's one of the most beloved.
Yeah.
How about his theme song here that sounds like the guitarist had to tell the drummer to chill the fuck out? Dude, I was like, am I having audio issues? I had to look it up.
It's funny because I did notice the song because I had the thought of, I don't normally notice WCW themes.
Me neither.
They're so...
That one jumped out at me though because I was like, this is pretty fucking good.
It is awesome.
It's like
the visual of that was really
good. Yeah, that was fucking stellar. That was a treat
for us.
Yeah.
Not for you, audience. Let's see, other WCW themes. The Horseman theme song is pretty fucking classic.
Horseman.
Whoa.
The Wolfpack theme, of course.
Wolfpack theme. Wolfpack, the NWO theme.
Raven.
I always love Vampiro's theme so much more than him.
Did you mention Sting's theme? Like, just his actual theme? No. No. The fucking...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm impressed you know that much.
It really good.
Yeah.
He's here!
Oh, my.
It's a really good theme.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. What do you think about A Man Called Sting?
What?
The Surfer Sting.
Surfer Sting song.
I don't know that one.
He's a man!
He's a man!
Anyway.
No, this match, fucking dope. I love Steamboat's gear.
The
entrance gear is so fucking good.
Steve Austin goes up to the middle rope, gets drop kicked, hangs his foot up.
Horrifying.
That led to the knee braces, both of them. And even the only one of the legs is hooked up. It led to both knee braces. That was crazy.
I wrote down, the insane trio both thing. But, like, that also threw me off when the match started. One, he's got hair here. And it looks good.
It's good hair.
Yeah. It's good look for him. Two, once it got going, it's like, ain't no knee braces on that man. I don't know who he is. Like,
Yeah.
No knee braces and he's bumping like crazy.
Mad.
At one point, though, they show the whole crowd during, like, a rest spot, and I'm like, showing the entire crowd when the building is this quiet is pretty diabolical.
Oh, it's a boring part of the match. Let's see how everyone's reacting to it.
If they had phones.
Steamboat looks like he'd rather be anywhere else.
He's waving to people in the crowd as he comes out. He's like, hi, guys. Yeah, I know. This sucks.
At one point, after Steamboat has been working on Austin's left arm for a couple of minutes, Austin fights back or does some sort of reversal and hits a clothesline from the left side and then immediately sells his arm. And I was like, Steve, that's where you're the fucking man.
Yeah, yeah. At one point, he hits a manual DDT. That's the only way I can describe it. He just grabs his head and is like, all right, you're eating the mat. Steve Austin's Spinebuster was so fucking mean, always. Even
almost an Alabama Slam.
Yeah. It's so Alabama Slammy here, but even in later years, it was still mean and awesome. That's all on this. It was just good, pure professional wrestling.
That's almost verbatim what I wrote down. It says, I really love this. Pure work.
Yeah.
Fucking.
That's like the pinnacle of the art type stuff, you know? Like, when you can just tell it's just two guys out there just fucking going for it, you know?
Yeah. They're fighting for everything. The pace, too, in this.
Dude, at one point I noticed it looked like Steve Austin was gassed.
Uh-huh.
And very clearly, Ricky Steamboat was not. They put over his conditioning on commentary, because, anyway. I don't know. It was real good.
I love this finish. There's a really fucking good DQ tease.
Mm.
Where the ref goes to ring the bell and Steamboat stops him. And he's like, no, don't fucking do it. And then Austin catches him with a roll-up into the ropes and fucking pins him.
Yep.
And I was like, awesome finish. Stuff. Cause it's like a 1-2 rollover, 1-2. Yeah. I've got the ropes, 3.
Yeah,
real fucking cool. Okay, Arn Anderson then tries to cut a promo in the back, and Funkhouse Fuck and Terry Buck and Colonel Sanders are just pouring champagne on him, and it's so dude.
It's so obnoxious, and they're being so annoying on purpose.
Because he starts this promo, and it sounds great. It's this classic Arn Anderson, let me tell you a story that's really detailed promo. And then they just start dumping shit on his head.
He has to wipe his fucking face off.
He looks so pissed, and then he just stops talking.
I don't know if I would have been able to keep my composure, because he doesn't skip a beat until he finishes his thought.
I'm glad that my description of every Arn Anderson promo got a reaction from you guys.
They throw it to Mean Gene. Like, the way they introduced the segment also made me laugh, because they throw it to Mean Gene.
Mm-hmm.
They cut to Terry Funk and Bunkhouse Buck, and then Mean Gene comes into the room. It's like, how did they know he was going to be there?
Oh, fuck.
Anyway, Doug Dimmadome also gets my time on this in this promo.
They want everyone to talk, and Terry Funk is just like, yeah, we want everything! Bunkhouse Buck, I think, is shoot drunk.
Yeah,
Arn can't get his promo done, and then Doug Dimmadome Sanders is just screaming.
Who's the fucking, on the Christmas Vacation, like, the dude's brother, like, the uncle character?
Cousin Eddie?
Cousin Eddie.
Yeah.
That's Bunkhouse Buck.
Okay, I can see that.
I can only see him as that.
Yeah, that's fair. Shitter's full.
Etc.
So the Paul brothers come out. I choose to believe that's their tag team name.
I wrote down the Fightin' Pauls.
Yeah, pretty pretty wonderful is fine.
Yeah,
but
I thought so.
We've always talked about we want a brother tag team to have their first names be the same, and here we are.
Guys, it's everyone's favorite Paul Roma teaming with everyone's favorite Paul Orndorff.
The Fightin' Pauls.
The Fightin' Pauls. The Paul brothers.
Oh, maybe the Paul brothers versus the Paul brothers.
Oh, man. Better.
The Paul brothers versus the brothers Paul.
Yeah, brother. Logan and Jake are pretty grim, so that's a good...
Yeah.
That's a good...
They're facing the tag team of everyone's favorite Kevin Sullivan and everyone's favorite tag partner for Kevin Sullivan, Mick Foley, a.k.a. Cactus Jack.
And Evad Sullivan.
And Evad is definitely out here, but he's Dave!
He's still Dave.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
I hated this!
This was the worst thing that professional wrestling could have given us on this night.
This... man...
If you give me the WCW roster in 1994, if you give me these four guys, I could build a better card than this match.
This was so weird to me. And also, that Kevin Sullivan and Cactus Jack are tag champions.
Yeah, what the fuck is that?
But then I remembered, oh wait, Foley cut this promo in ECW and spit on the WCW tag title. So that has to be just about to happen. Because then I remember they were real pissed about that and had them lose the belts, like, instantly. I did not care for this.
I had nothing really to say about this.
No.
Orndorff looks 60.
What?
Oh. Orndorff looks 60.
Yeah.
He looks great. He's in amazing shape. But he looks like an old man in amazing shape.
Yeah. A lot of people got up during this match.
Dude, I did too, because I got to be honest with you. I said I watched this whole thing one way through. This was after a minute or two of watching it. I was like, all right, it's time to go piss, and I could use a snack. And then
I wrote down, Kevin Sullivan's body was not meant for wrestling gear.
He's the weirdest.
He's oddly shaped.
He somehow, like, has a long torso, but is very short.
Yeah. Oops, I've looked away for a while.
Foley at one point calls for a knee from Kevin Sullivan.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I think he wants him to put the knee up or something. He's going to, like, ram the victim into the knee. Kevin Sullivan does not do that, but instead bites the guy that they're putting heat on. And it made me laugh because it's one of those weird things where the mic actually does pick up what they're saying, but because it's a tag match, they don't try to, like, cover it. Because, you know, you're just...
You're telling your teammate what to do, brother.
And I hear Foley say, knee, give me a knee. And then fucking Sullivan doesn't do anything. And Foley tags him and does the slapping his own knee, signaling, give me a knee. And Kevin Sullivan bites this fucking dude.
He's just doing shit.
He's in the corner doing his own thing.
Yeah.
What about Paul Orndorff's gyrating elbow of death?
He does it.
And they literally say on commentary, what was that? And Schiavone says, that was Mr. Wonderful.
I've never seen a more stationary audience during a hot tag. Little did I know that was hot tag 1 of 49!
Brother, I couldn't tell who was supposed to be what in this match.
Couldn't tell you. We got baby faces doing rest holds. Cactus Jack doing a rest hold. Hold!
This is baffling.
They call it out on commentary as such.
I wrote down and I quote, bro, I don't understand who is evil or good.
I wrote down, who are the faces? So, like, we're both on the same page. No one knows.
No one can know.
Paul Orndorff kills Kevin Sullivan with a pile driver.
He sure does. And that was a save.
Awful structure to this because there isn't.
Okay, if you have notes on it, I need to know because I wrote down what a convoluted, stupid shit finish. And now I can't remember what it was. It was some sort of a, like, introduce a weapon, you're not looking at it, you are looking at it type of thing. I can't fucking recall. Wait. I don't know.
Wait, hold on. Now I want to know because I wrote down that was a dumb, stupid, idiotic finish that wasted all of our time. And I mean all of our time. Uploading this match was a waste of time. Yeah, I wish I could
fucking remember. You know what? Keep talking. I'm going to find it, actually.
Yeah, okay. Because I wrote down this is a mess, but like a slow one. This match is 65% lukewarm.
What up, bitches?
Wolf is here.
How's it going, guys? What's up, dude? What's up, Hat S Spring Valley guy? So I figured drop on you. You thought you'd get a podcast without me?
A fantastic live event.
Oh, yeah, that's how we do it,
Steven,
man.
Steven, while you're up.
You got them hefty bags? Get the hefty guy?
Hefty guy?
I don't have hefty.
What do you need? Everybody needs a little brewski?
Yeah.
I have a
beer while you're up.
Have a beer? Anybody else need a beer?
No, I'm good. I've got one right
here. All right. Ooh, you mind if I... How's everybody doing in podcast land?
I'm great.
Dude, we're agonizing.
We're talking about this bizarre WCW tag match, and now I'm actually going to pull up the finish because I can't remember what it was, but we all wrote down that it was really fucking bad.
Hell yeah, man.
Oh! It was, I don't remember exactly how it ended, but I remember, or how it got set up, but I remember that someone was holding Foley's feet. Okay. So he couldn't kick out. Which I fucking hate that, because you're under the ropes.
Alright, I gotta get back to work. See you guys.
Oh, good see you.
Bye, everybody. Podcast land. I'm out.
Hey, if there's any pizzas that happen to maybe get mismade,
I will eat them.
Damn it.
Alright, so we are.
I love the show being live.
Yeah. We're kind of doing a somewhat of a watch along type of thing to figure out what exactly happened in this finish.
We're reviewing the footage.
Yes, that's what we're doing.
That's what we'll call it.
This is a tape study podcast.
This is a long fucking contest. Also,
oh my god, they're so. Dude, I'm going to look up match times. We're not guessing.
Yeah, I don't have
but I'm going to look it up because.
I'm going to look it up.
Look it up, look it up. I'm still fast forwarding Noblest. Okay, Noble.
Hey, Steven.
I don't think he is still with us.
Damn it.
Steven Regal defeated Johnny B. Badd in 10 okay. minutes and 40 seconds.
I'm sorry, Steven Regal and
Johnny B. Badd was 10 minutes and 40 seconds.
Okay.
Vader and the Guardian.
Wait, Tom, you guess. How long did Vader and the Guardian Angel go?
8 minutes.
Do you?
I don't care.
Okay.
9/11.
7:58.
Oh, shit!
So, yeah. Yeah, that was crazy. Funkhouse Fuck versus yep. Rhodes and Anderson. 11:15. Steve Austin and Ricky Steamboat. Do you want to guess for that one?
30. I bet it's late 20s, I bet. But I'm gonna
I was
going to
say 25.
I'm going to say 30 flat.
20:06.
Wow, they kept a lot in there.
Yeah.
It felt long in a good way to me.
And then how fucking long do you think this match went?
14 minutes.
9/11.
2011.
Holy shit, that's worse than 9/11.
Bad year.
Bad time. Okay.
I don't think it was that bad.
Here we go. Let's watch this finish of this tag match and see if we can make sense of this. So, we are, if you want to watch along with this, guys, we are at 1 hour, 56 minutes, and 15 seconds.
We're watching on 1.25 speed.
Foley has... What?
You got to change the setting.
No, we don't.
No, you don't.
We don't go that deep. Just play.
Yeah.
All right, so Foley's in the ring.
He's punching him.
Yeah, this is a hot tag, I think. Hits him with the running dick to the back of the
balls.
Head. Yeah, the Jarrett. I only ever call it that.
Jarrett had some class.
Yeah, I like Jarrett. Left arm clothesline from Foley. Big scoop and a slam.
Kevin Sullivan's here.
Double arm DDT.
Whip him into
this
that
is
guy.
Already strange. Okay, here we go. So the ref is with Sullivan. Dave's on the apron with a crutch. The ref is still with Sullivan. Foley has had the pin. Roma trips Foley and holds on to his feet.
But, like, the ref, before falling into the cover, can see the feet under the ropes.
Watched him get pulled.
Yeah.
Off.
That felt like three or four different ideas for a finish, like, smashed together to a bad result.
Someone thought they were awesome by saying, we can do all those ideas. Listen. No. It's too fucking much.
Stick to one.
Yeah. Because I like the... I don't know, even the setup for that was weird. Yeah, I fucking hated that.
Sometimes it's okay for the setup to a spot to be, and then I just fucking put you in it. But
no,
with
that,
stuff
that
like that, you can't just fucking, and then I just put you in it.
And also, to me, especially for a tag, everybody has to have a reason as to why they are where they are for a finish like that to work. Why did Dave Sullivan get on the apron at all?
At all.
Who was he distracting the referee from or for or why? And then past that, Kevin Sullivan just leaves the ring away from his own partner, away from their opponents, so he can't make the save. You know what I mean? Like, he literally had to put himself in a position where he couldn't do anything. And you should already be there if that's the fit. Like, oh, you get... fucked off with a drop kick or whatever. Who cares? That way, you're out of play, and there's a reason that you don't.
And there's
this.
A reason why you are somewhere.
Right. And that's just they're just like, nah. I'm just gonna go over here now. Bockwinkel is here. There's a long and heated exchange between Heenan and Schiavone.
as they're setting up whatever for this main event. It was so odd to me. They're like chirping at each other, but in character.
Yeah.
They must have gotten told to stall for time.
There's a lot on this show that I think was told to stall for time, and there's more to come.
Yeah, because there's six matches, and it goes almost 3 hours.
Crazy.
There's one point where I wrote down, Heenan says a bunch of words that really mean absolutely nothing, and then he says Hogan's win will be a fluke, which I agree with. I don't remember what the first... He said some long thing where I was like... it was something like... I feel like if Flair wins, people will be like, yeah, that makes sense. And if Hogan wins, people will be like, yeah, that makes sense. He said it in like way more words. I'm like, so? Just skip to the end part where you say Hogan's win will be a fluke and we can get on with it.
Yeah.
This could have been a 2-hour show.
Braden, back in the day, we used to take time to do things.
But I don't understand what the thing is that's being done.
Me neither. No. I'm just saying these things.
We don't take time to do things now. There's not 20 minutes in between the 5 matches that are on every...
It's a different 20 minutes.
PLE.
Snap into a Slim Jim! Dude wipes!
Dude wipe your butthole after going through the Slim Jim table! Now with 50% less carcinogens.
The first huge reaction on this show is about to happen when Shaq walks out, looking a little happy, a little confused.
Young as fuck.
Crazy young. Sideburns.
Nonsensical sideburn.
This fucking 10XL Walmart shirt. What's it say? It says something like, good.
Sports. Basketball.
So,
Michael Buffer introduces Shaq for some reason.
That blew my mind.
And Gordon Solie.
That is Nick Bockwinkel.
Oh, shit.
They cut away from Hogan on his entrance.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad that you fucking noted that. Because I was like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, it's the second that you see him, they cut to a fan that's dressed like Hogan.
I was actually watching that part of the show with Wolf. He had come home. He's not here now. Would have been great. That would have been better timing. But we both said, at, like, the same time, but, like, not verbatim, you know, the same words, why the fuck would you do that?
Yeah.
Like, and then I realized, has this always been a thing in wrestling that we just... Oh shit, Edge is coming back for the first time forever. Somebody else needs to be seen.
We better cut to the crowd.
Oh man, AJ's about to debut. What if we... Thank you.
What if we had Roman Reigns' confused expression on the Titantron?
So, it's main event time.
Yeah.
They are calling this the biggest match in wrestling history.
Which at this point I would...
Yeah, probably was. Yeah, maybe. Like, I would say so.
Champ out first, bullshit.
Hate it.
And then I was like, where the fuck's the belt? The fact that it's hidden under the robe annoys me.
Oh, okay.
It annoys me.
Ah, that's cool.
I don't mind shit like that if, like, when you take the... If, like, you make a presentation of the...
It makes the belt look so much cooler when you take off the robe and the belt is underneath it.
The problem, though, for me, personally, is... There's too much time where the belt is hidden.
Hmm.
But I think you make enough of a deal about it.
I don't know. It just for me personally, I'm like, do it on the fucking stage.
Yeah.
But Ric Flair's not doing that.
Yeah.
He's waiting.
So
I do agree though, like, if you're wearing a jacket,
yeah.
Over top of the jacket.
Yes. Mm.
Robe underneath of the robe.
See, I feel like it's the opposite for me. You can wear it under a jacket because that shit's open. You can see that the belt at all times.
See, I was picturing like a zipped up.
But a robe,
like,
when you fucking get that John tight and tied up, you can just go right around that son of a bit.
But then to take the robe off, you have to take the belt off.
So? You're going to take the belt off anyway.
But then it's some fumble fucking.
Why not just take the belt off and raise it like you're the best while in the robe?
And the robe comes off to unveil the champion.
There's an argument for both. I'm not saying yeah,
I think wrong. It depends on the character more than, like...
My guy wears jacket, so belt over jacket. But when he wears long vest...
So
belt over shoulder.
So wait, let's throw another cog into the machine.
Yeah.
Edge, right?
Yeah.
Long coat. Belt was under the coat, yes. But coat was not zipped or snapped up.
Thus making it a robe.
No. Robes are closed.
You want the robe to be closed.
Robes
are
closed.
I wouldn't want. I would not want Edge in a zipped up trench coat.
Well, hold on. If it had a really high neck, that might have been pretty cool.
The only time a robe is opened is when it's being taken off. A robe is closed. If it's open, it's a jacket. Or a coat, if you want to.
Could I zip my jacket?
Do you ever call those tragets?
No.
Track jacket, traget? Yeah.
Tragic?
I said
tragic.
Trench coat.
No, I'm saying what
I'm wearing?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, but when you said... The way
do you ever call a trench coat a jacket?
Why I was confused, because it sounded like you were saying that conversationally, not that what I was wearing. Anyway.
Holy shit. I found this match fascinating and sincerely interesting.
Yeah.
Because even in 94, the perception was, okay, these are the two biggest stars in wrestling, right?
Mm-hmm.
Except that one of these guys, he's more just kind of like shtick and he's popular. And the other guy can fucking go. And it made me realize this has always
been the thing.
Been a thing. And, but it's cool that that fans at this point got to see it happen, right?
Yeah.
Like, but it's never not going to be that in wrestling. Like,
yeah.
Just wild to me when I was like realizing like, goddamn, like...
You were never going to see Bryan Danielson versus John Cena.
We did, though.
No. You saw Daniel Bryan versus John
okay,
Cena.
Okay, fair.
You are not going to see a Bryan Danielson match.
No.
You're not going to see Kenny Omega versus...
Roman.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, honestly, if I'm doing a current time of recording equivalent for what this probably was at that time, especially because... Top of company.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, that seems accurate. I won't lie. I wanted to like this match.
Yeah?
And when it started, I was like, okay. Okay. And then there was enough stuff in it that was like keeping me interested. Where I was like, alright, but I'm kind of at an arm's length. And then I kind of got into it. And then the fucking shit at the end, I was like, I hate... You Hulk Hogan so much.
See, my expectations were met.
Yeah, I expected. I think I
also Mr. T and Jimmy Hart here.
My expectations were slightly exceeded because they were in the middle. I know what I'm getting here. Hogan did do a lot more, even though it's fucking silly and it never looks right to me. It's just goofy.
That armbar thing that he does.
He did some more wrestling in this than normal.
And he's moving a bit too, like, and I
know because he's dropped 100 pounds because he's off the fucking gas.
He's dropped 100 pounds. He's off the gas, and this is 30 fucking plus years ago, and he's alive here. I understand that, you know, times have changed, but like,
he's dead now.
He is. I heard about it on the podcast, but fucking like he's taking snap nares and stuff. You know what I mean? Like little things like that where it feels like something that didn't happen.
He does also sell for Flair quite a bit, which I don't know why I just didn't expect from this era Hogan.
See, I thought... That was the stuff about it, the match that I liked. Because I thought, oh, you're actually going to change gears for the place that you now work for and the person that you are working with who is doing the favors for you. And this... God damn it is. And then it's not that. It's just, I'll do this for some of the match, Rick, and then we're going to do Hulk Hogan Hulks up and... Rules ass, and it's overbooked, and there's ref and like all this.
Let's
other
make them think that it's a different Hulk Hogan, dude.
Shaq is so much bigger than everyone in the world.
Everyone in the world.
Like Hogan is a huge fucking dude,
was.
And he
Hogan was a huge fucking dude. Sorry, I just heard the news.
I didn't know he was sick.
He got some allegedly. Bad fan.
Oh my god.
According to his opponent in the main event, he was off some bad fan.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I forgot about that. But I don't know. It just... He does so many overbooked fucking shit finishes at the... Again, it's the same thing as, like, you're doing three of these in one match when one probably isn't necessary, but would be allowed.
Yeah.
Oh, a ref bump? Got it. Oh, run in? Okay. Oh, this, that...
Low blow, like, fucking whatever.
He also just hits the big boot at one point in the match, only for Sherry to cause the distraction and not get the pin.
Yep.
I was like, what the fuck? But he doesn't do the leg drop. He just does the boot, which Shivani kept calling the big foot.
Yeah,
and it was,
he does that.
Infuriating.
Yeah, it was like, whoa, man, what are we doing?
That's what he called the big boot. He would call it the big foot.
Bigfoot is a monster truck and a mythological creature from the Pacific Northwest.
At one point,
what do you mean mythological?
Well, it's a logical, and it's a myth.
I mean, I think you mean real logical.
No. Also, I heard.
I think you mean strictly logical.
Strictly logical. Actually, the Bigfoot story.
Actually, no, I don't.
I saw a review of a Bigfoot movie recently that's called Exists, and the guy started the review by saying, I shit you not, this is the exact words, probably the best Bigfoot horror movie out there. And I said, there are others?
Honestly, I'm surprised there aren't more of them.
Yeah, you're right. We've done everything else to fucking death.
We gotta make a horror movie where the protagonists are those van life people.
Yeah, okay.
And they're up in the Sequoias or whatever.
Yeah.
And they get attacked by Big Feet.
Yeah.
But in our Big Feet movie,
yeah,
there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
And they're not just humanoid. They're like 9 feet tall.
Okay.
Like they're big feet.
Gotcha.
See, I'm picturing.
Anything is opening, better than talking about a Hulk Hogan match.
The opening is a van life couple or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
They get demolished, right?
Okay.
Beat cop put on the case because it's like out in the middle of nowhere.
Sure.
He's like, "What the fuck? This looks like Bigfoot."
Is the beat cop's partner Tim Robinson? The beat cop himself can't be Tim Robinson because this is more of a horror genre.
Yeah. It is A24, which they've worked together before, so it's fine. But, like, so then it's, like, it gets to a point where there's a detective on the case, and the detective's like, no, I think it might actually be Bigfoot. And then they have to convince the people, and then Bigfoot kills people in the process, and you know what I mean? I don't know.
What do you think about the 9-foot Big Feet?
I like that.
They need to be large.
They need to be big.
Yeah.
And, like, weird gangly limbs.
Yeah, I was thinking, like...
What if that's the bit?
They're like big orangutans.
Okay, so you said the sequoias, right? The big trees, the big redwoods. What if the reason we've never found a Bigfoot is because of their big gangly limbs? They're up in the fucking trees. Yeah. We only see their feet prints when they come down to, like, piss and shit. But they're up in the fucking trees, so we can't find them.
That's for sure.
I know what you said! It should not be... I know you meant shit generally, but that's just funny.
Nobody take our film or pilot for an 8-part limited TV series on Apple TV called what's the working title, Tom?
Big Boot.
Big Boot.
Big Boot? Yes!
Wait, what if the town is Big Boot, California, and it's out in the fucking redwoods or whatever?
I like it. Let's go. I was picturing a desert when I said beat cop. Yeah. So I was like, okay, we're out in California somewhere.
I want Tim Robinson to be the friend, right? But I need the trailer to end on like a slow A24 style zoom in shot of Tim Robinson looking through like a foggy window, and you hear in the distance like some sort of a or whatever, and he looks and he goes, "What the hell's going on out there?" Cut to black.
What the fuck? Hogan does a double clothesline, but the second part of the clothesline is him just fucking hitting Sherry.
It is not even accidentally.
Yeah, like he swings.
It is un-be-fucking-leavable to me, because I was like, one, how is their positioning so bad?
Yeah, I don't know.
I know they knew the spot. But two, he kind of just taps Flair with his left and then just spins around and fucking clubs her in the temple.
Yeah. Oh, if I had to guess, maybe. I think, because in my memory, Hogan's going diagonally, and I think maybe they were positioning for, like...
the other corners?
Yeah, like rope to rope.
Okay.
I don't know. Anyway.
Sherry misses a splash off the top in this match.
Yeah, and then just lays there like she's like a chalk outline. Like, God. I don't remember Hulk Hogan being weird. But he's fucking weird.
He always has been.
Go on, because I think I agree with you, but I wanted to hear...
I think this note is about, like, his post-match promo. But he's, like, just fucking weird. And I don't remember him being that way.
It's so strange to me that, like, he took off the way that he did.
Yeah.
Like, just based on, like, who else was in the fucking scene at the time, right? Because... let's be honest, the Machine got behind him.
Yeah.
He absolutely did his part, especially in the 80s, you know? I get that. But, like, I could make an argument that there were other workers in that time period that if the Machine had gotten behind him in that fashion, we would have never heard of who the fuck Hulk Hogan was other than a former AWA guy.
Yeah.
Tito Santana could have been Hulk Hogan.
Savage
could have been Hogan. Like, you know, like... anyone could have been Hogan. He just got fucking lucky.
Timeline might not quite be there, but like Steamboat, I would have argued, would have been just perfect for that fucking mega role. But I don't know. So very, very bizarre.
Mean Gene asks Hogan who his next opponent is going to be, and Hulk Hogan responds by saying that he's going to ride Tiger Sharks this weekend.
I saw that. Hang on. Can we... put a pin in that. We got to rewind back to the match for a second.
Okay.
At one point in this match, Hulk Hogan gives Ric Flair a belly-to-back suplex on the floor.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, what? Because I don't remember him ever doing that move. I don't think. I don't remember Flair taking bumps like that on a floor.
No.
I don't remember Hogan bumping people like that on a floor. It was so goddamn bizarre to me. There's also, fuck, there was something else in this match. I think Hogan did, like, a normal suplex, like, bring him in from the apron.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And just seeing him literally do basic wrestling moves.
Yeah.
Is so befuddling to me. And I think he hulks up twice in here, too. But yeah, he says he's going to ride Tiger Sharks.
Yeah, he says that's his direct response to who his opponent is going to be. And he does not further elaborate on either the Tiger Sharks or the opponent.
When the match ends...
his opponent is riding Tiger Sharks this weekend.
Oh, okay, so his opponent is Tom Jane from Deep Blue Sea. Because he also rides... that's the only thing I've ever seen where somebody rides a Tiger Shark.
I can't believe you named something where someone named...
yeah, what the a tiger fuck? Shark.
That's it. I can't believe that this pay-per-view predates that movie by a long time.
Where do you think they got the idea?
Holy shit. What's that fucking director's name? Remy something? So when the match ended, right? It's, for me, my viewing experience, I was like, oh fuck, man, it's late.
Oh my God.
The match ends, and I'm like, thank God. Over. It's over. I can start putting my fucking shit away. I've had so many beers. I'll finish this, I guess. Turn something else on. Why is this still playing? And I hit pause. There's like 7 fucking minutes after the match.
You gotta get Hogan walking through the fucking venue to go cut a promo half a mile away while his entire entourage follows.
At some point during this 7 minutes of hell after everything that sucked, they cut back to Shivani and Heenan, and behind them, all you can see are empty chairs and people leaving. And it was another one of those shots where I'm like, don't show that. Like,
yeah.
I know that the people in the crowd know that the show has ended, and I know that they're going home. But when you're sitting here front and center telling me, the greatest night in the history of our great sport, and I'm watching droves of people.
And it is emptying out like there's a bomb threat.
Like,
yeah.
Which I get it, because they're not watching any of the shit that we're seeing. No. There's no screen set up.
No.
But, like, goddamn, man.
Tony Schiavone ends this show. His closing line fucking blew me away. He says, I'm Tony Schiavone saying, wrestling is cool again. Have a good night.
Are you fucking serious?
That's the closing line. And then it's just the credits until it fades out.
Not quite yet.
No. I would argue we're about 2 years away from the general perception of wrestling being that it's cool again.
I was going to say four.
Well, yeah. I say two because 2 years from this is start of the NWO.
Yeah.
So if nothing else, that was cool. And then as soon as they dropped the ball on that 8 months later, yeah, everybody else was off to the races, you know? Like, but
yeah, I just...
Hogan had a 2-year run as a babyface in WCW doing the same character that he had already done years prior.
And I bet you this is the last time he ever fucking worked hard.
Well,
if he even did.
Famously covered that incredible match he had with the Giant, the Monster Trucks, where he was really working hard. Health.
That's true.
Guys, can we just end this episode now?
There it is. Back up. Yes.
I didn't care for this. Yeah, I didn't finish it, and I didn't care for it.
This sucked. Also, in regards to any future WCW shit, I've gotten one very passionate request from a dear friend of mine for a WCW show that he has insisted is the Dexter.
Okay.
That he has insisted is the often talked about mythical top to bottom good WCW pay-per-view. I said, okay. I told him we'd do it at some point. I'm not going to commit to a date because I got to fucking find it. Like a good, you know, easily shareable link and whatnot. But yeah, it's just strange.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's shut this down. I'm hungry.
Yeah, same. What are we